One of the earliest artistic depictions we have of our Lord, whether like a fresco or a statue that have been found in the catacombs, is that of the Good Shepherd, for good reason, because the prophets foretold that the Messiah would come as the Good Shepherd to gather the faithful flock. We hear, too, of in the Gospel passage, Jesus identifying himself as the Good Shepherd. I think, too, though, to appreciate this, it's good to pause and reflect on that beautiful 23rd Psalm, which happens to be my favorite. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Near restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. If I should walk in the valley of darkness, no evil do I fear, for you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. Whenever I hear that psalm, whenever I pray it, which I do frequently, several times a week, I find great peace and joy. It reminds me that Christ the Good Shepherd loves me, and that Christ the Good Shepherd is with me, by my side, no matter what I face in life. This is the beauty of this image, and this is why, since the earliest days of the church, the fourth Sunday of our Easter celebration, like the midpoint, has always been dedicated to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. He came like that shepherd. So he came like us in all things but sin. He came to gather the flock. So not just the Jew, also the Gentile. Not just the righteous ones, but also the sinners. He came to nourish this flock, especially through the sacraments. So we think of the great gift of the Holy Eucharist. He came to give us the way to follow by preaching the truth in the gospel. He also came to lay down his life, to offer that sacrifice on the altar of cross, to free us from our sin, but also to rise, to give us that hope of everlasting life. So in following the Good Shepherd, then, we know that where the final destination is, where he is going to lead us, is heaven. When we hear the beautiful passage from the book of Revelation, John has this vision of heaven, and there are all these angels and saints standing around the altar. What a beautiful picture. So no matter what we're facing in this life, we know that following Jesus, knowing that he is with us by our side, ultimately leads to that final destination of heaven. To put it, though, into even a more personalized sense, we know that Christ is with us. So even though Jesus ascended into heaven 40 days after Easter, Jesus founded a church, so he's still the shepherd of a flock we call the church. He is with the church, present to it. St. Paul refers to Christ as the head, we're the body. We could think of him being the shepherd, we're being the sheep. In all, though, the same work of the Good Shepherd continues on. Christ founded the church and entrusted to the church shepherds. So his apostles, and their authority has been handed on to, like our Holy Father, the Pope, the successor of St. Peter, the bishops, the successors of the apostles, by extension, to priests. And so they're to be the shepherds to keep the flock together, but also through their work. They're to provide the nourishment, the sacraments, so Christ feeds us through the sacraments the church continues to offer. Christ continues to give us the way, through the preaching of the gospel, but the consistent teaching of our church. How important it is to know that we have truth. We have a church that does teach, so that no matter what we face in a very confused world, we do have the right guidance that we need. We also have the hope of everlasting life. So in all, our church is an expression, a very visible expression, of the presence of the Good Shepherd with us. Now, to help us with this even further, we know that Christ is present in these different ways. But also, it's that knowing that he is with us, even in those times of struggle, that we're assured of his love. For instance, as a priest, I think of all the centuries of church history and all the different struggles the church has endured, whether it's been persecution, heresy, schism, or definitely so much personal failings on the part of the faithful, the church still survives. Why? Because Jesus is with the church. The Good Shepherd's with us. That's why, even though in this present day and age, when we see such persecution throughout the world of Christianity, I do not lose hope, because I know Christ is still with that church. Here too, when we do face those struggles, and we're very confident that Christ is at our side, like that Good Shepherd, we grow in love. We know that we're loved. Like when we think of the first passage, Paul and Barnabas have gone off on their missionary journey. They're in this city of Antioch in the Asia Minor area. They're rejected, persecuted, yet they aren't discouraged. It says the disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. They knew Christ was with them. And even though they went through that struggle, that rejection, they had even greater love because they knew they were loved. Same is true for us. When we go through our life and we face the struggles of life, be it some kind of a struggle, financial, medical problem, whatever it is, and we rely knowing that Jesus is with us, and also that we have the support of others, like our loved ones, don't we have even a greater love when we get through that dark valley? We do. We have greater confidence knowing I am loved. I am loved by the Good Shepherd. I am loved by others. Well, my brothers and sisters, when we put all of this together, I think that this is the point that Pope Francis was trying to make in his recent apostolic exhortation called The Joy of Love. Now, we know past two falls, 2014-15, there's been this special synod, this meeting of bishops, laity, and others to discuss marriage and the family. Now, this wasn't a convention, like some political convention of let's vote on what we're going to believe this year. Wasn't that at all. It was to address the issues that affect marriage and the family. And you and I know those issues. The Good Shepherd now, the Pope, has issued this apostolic exhortation. So this idea of giving a guidance to each of us and giving us some pastoral advice how to deal with the current situation, but in a very Christian way. So with that, the first thing the Pope did was to dismiss the whole idea of we're going to change our teaching. We aren't. And he says that because we can't change the Word of God. We can't change what God has given to us and what has been taught for almost 2,000 years now of our church's history. The Pope, though, does emphasize that the love of the Good Shepherd is found in truth. And that's a very important point. We can't have love without truth. God is love, but God is truth. They go hand in hand. So the Good Shepherd, Jesus, came to show us God's love, but also to perfectly reveal his truth. So in this apostolic exhortation, the Holy Father said, "The Word of God is not a series of abstract ideas, but rather a source of comfort and companionship for every family. It shows the goals of the journey." With that, he affirmed basic truths, that life is sacred from conception to natural death, that marriage is between a man and a woman, period, that the family life is sacred. Marriage is sacred for the begetting, the raising, and the education of children. That marriage in itself, for Christians, is sacramental and thereby indissolvable. In all, the Holy Father was simply affirming once again basic truths. Now, for that then, part of the guidance is that given our church, we uphold these truths in love, but then we look at our little smaller churches, what we call our domestic church, the family. So here's the real challenge, especially for you all, that if you're married and if you do have children, there's a family, then how do you best live in that love with Christ given this world? So how you and I as individuals know we are loved as a person really begins in our family. It begins with our parents. It begins with our brothers and sisters. It begins with our grandparents. That's how you and I know we're loved. And that's what's so important about stable, solid marriages and families. People need to know with certitude they are loved. And they can only know really God's love if at first they're raised in that family of love. So I encourage you then to think of how important your relationships are between husband and wife, between parents and children, children and parents. Bring in the elderly too, so grandparents are extremely important, too often forgotten in our world today. Those bonds of love, though, are essential for keeping our little flock together, but helping each person know, I am loved. Isn't it sad in our world today, especially for so many young people? They don't know this because of the tragedy of divorce, the tragedy of parents consumed with their own activities. Oftentimes, homes are simply houses where people share under the same roof some kind of life, but not really like a family. Too oftentimes, these relationships are simply like financial convenience relationships rather than love relationships. And so the importance for you as married people or parents or children, or if you have even elderly parents that you care for, examine those structures. And how better can you bring God's love into your lives through that time for prayer, that time for the family meal, the time for having fun together, doing things together. Now, part of the challenge in the exhortation, too, is that we do reach out to help others. So just as the Good Shepherd came to gather, you and I are called to gather also. If we know someone in a family, our own family, that has gone astray, we should look for the opportunity and think, how do I reconcile that person? How could I encourage that person to come back? If I, as a priest, for instance, know someone in a parish who's in an irregular marriage that's not recognized by the church, my job is to reach out to that person, which we do, to see how we can get that marriage validated and regularized in the eyes of the church. If we know someone who is in a sinful lifestyle, with compassion, to help that person, encourage the person to change, seek reconciliation. So the Holy Father said we don't just simply throw stones of condemnation. No, we want to gather the people back. Not to pretend that sin's not a sin, not to pretend that falsehood is correct, no, but to bring people back. In all, this is how we stay close to the Good Shepherd personally, but also as a church, be it our big church or our little domestic church. So Jesus rightly says at the end, if we live this, then we hear his voice. We know him. He knows us. We follow him. We will not perish. Nothing will take us from his hand. But there is a warning. What we have to be careful of is letting go of his hand. That's the key. Nothing can take us from the love of Christ unless we let go of the hand of the Good Shepherd. And here the Holy Father warns us also in the apostolic exhortation. He warns against what he calls the rampant individualism, where people no longer walk with the Good Shepherd, but they just go off. I'll do what I want to do. I'll live the way I want to live. I'll make my own rules, and I'll pretend I'm God. That rampant individualism is destroying our marriages, our families, and thereby hurting not only our community, but even our church. The Holy Father warns, too, against considering falsehood as truth. And he says, for instance, the ideological denial of differences between the sexes, the anti-life culture, the legal dismantling of the family, the trivialization, impoverishment of human sexuality, the negativity towards the procreative purpose of the family, or the reduction of a child to simply being a choice. Pause here, because we hear all the political commercials now about, I'm solidly pro-choice. What's that saying? You're saying to a child, well, I chose you to live. You should be happy, rather than saying, you're a precious gift that God gave to me. Wouldn't it be awful to have a parent say to you, you're lucky I chose that you should live? Or maybe a parent say, I wish I hadn't chosen you to live. How awful. But real love is saying, this person has been given to me as a gift from God. So when we buy into that falsehood and we want to live a life of the rampant individualism, we let go of the Good Shepherd's hand and we go off and we fall eventually to perdition. So my brothers and sisters, this Sunday then, let us be sure that we leave here firmly holding on to the hand of the Good Shepherd. I'd encourage you to open up your Bibles, read Psalm 23 today, and meditate on it. Jesus walks with us. He loves us. We should know that with absolute certainty. We walk with him, tightly holding his hand. But then with the other hand, let's see if we can bring someone along the way. May God bless you.